Good morning, LifePoint family. I hope that you are doing well and that you are staying warm. I'm sad to not be able to gather with you to lift up our voices in song to the Lord this morning, to open His Word together and to go to Him in prayer. It's a reminder for me that we look forward to a day in which we will worship the Lord together for all eternity. We will no longer be separated by weather or sickness or pain or suffering, but that we will be joined together singing the glories of God for all eternity. This morning we will be in Philippians chapter 2 verses 1 through 11, a passage which is familiar to many of us. Some of us even have it memorized, but if you will turn there, we will begin our time this morning reading God's word. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he is in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, by being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If you'll join me, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning acknowledging that you are sovereign. Father, that we may not understand why we are unable to gather, but we trust in your wisdom and your providence. Father, I pray that you would conform us into the image of Christ through your word this morning, that you would show us what it means to humble ourselves and to count others more significant than ourselves. Father, I pray that you would give us the mind of Christ when we consider this topic of humility this morning. In Christ's name I pray, amen. There are many theological discussions to be had in Philippians chapter 2. What does it mean that Jesus Christ emptied himself? What does it mean that he did not count equality with God as something to be grasped? And much ink has been spilled over the understanding of these passages, and the understanding of these passages affect who we understand Christ to be. And sadly, many people have walked away from this passage in heresy. They have walked away denying the divinity of Christ, having no real claim on the salvation they proclaimed to have. But this morning we are going to talk about something that I think is one of the most misunderstood positions that a Christian should find themselves in, and that is the position of humility. We are called to be humble. The reason I think we struggle with humility so much is because since the fall, our default position has been pride. We misunderstand what humility even is. I remember growing up, and my understanding of humility was just to degrade myself or to talk down about myself. And in the modern culture, that seems to be an understanding of what humility is. That if you just don't talk about yourself in a boastful way, then you're showing yourself to be humble. And so we tend to do the opposite, and we talk down about ourselves. And the issue with that is we still are focused on ourselves, which is pride. I believe all of sin is rooted in pride, a belief that we know what is best for our lives. If we think back to the Garden of Eden, we think back to the first lie that Adam and Eve believed, what was it? What was the first sin rooted in? And it was rooted in pride. And the serpent came to Adam and Eve and he said, "Did God really say that you would die? You surely won't die, for God knows that when you eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that you will be like him, knowing right from wrong." And Eve saw that the fruit was good for food, and she ate of it. There was a desire to be like God. And since the fall, our depraved default state has been selfishness. We want to worship ourselves. We set ourselves up on the throne of our lives. Why does Scripture say that no one is righteous and no one does good? It is because we cannot love God in our fallen state. Jesus affirms the teaching of all of Scripture when he says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength. And the reason no one is righteous and no one can do good is because we cannot love God in our fallen state. We love ourselves. So all of our sin and all of our enmity and all of our works apart from the grace of God is born out of our pride, our desire to elevate ourselves. And unfortunately, what I think we see in this passage, and we'll look in a minute in the book of James, is the reality that our pride does not end with our salvation. And we were brought from darkness to light, our prideful, sinful desires to elevate ourselves and to place ourselves at a point of worship is constantly at war within us. It's Paul that writes, I do not do the things that I ought, and I do the things that I should not do. We are reminded that even after our salvation, we war with our pride. And so Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, he says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if we as believers define any encouragement in our salvation, if we're to find any encouragement that we are truly in Christ, that if we're to have any comfort from love, that if we have any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Paul says, complete my joy by having unity. And as we talked about, I believe a year or two ago, we understand in Ephesians chapter 5 that unity is not achieved with fake smiles or with writing away sound doctrine or putting aside any kind of disagreement. But what we truly understand is unity is found with sound doctrine. When we have one mind, one love, one accord, when we come together understanding who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us, we find unity. And the more that we come together with our doctrinal and theological understandings, the more unity we find. And actually, as I was talking, I knew I was wrong. It was Ephesians chapter 4, not Ephesians chapter 5. And if I didn't correct myself, that was going to bother me the rest of our time this morning. And he says, in your unity, in your participation in the Spirit, in your encouragement in Christ, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. And we must understand that this isn't some kind of earthly comfort that Paul is talking about. He is talking about our spiritual holiness, that we are talking about our love for Christ. We must not only look to our interests that are being conformed to the image of Christ, we are to look to the interest of others, having this mind among ourselves, which is ours in Christ. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. One of the most toxic poisons that can enter into the bride of Christ, causing quarrels and fights, is pride. If you will turn to James chapter 4, I'm going to read to you what he writes in this passage. James 4, verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you. You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot attain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask, and you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is no purpose that Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Is it not your passions warring inside you? Our prides, our desires have drive church fights. How many churches have been split and fractured and gossiped about and slandered about, not because of theological differences, but because the stage decoration was changed, or the music that they were playing didn't have drums, or the pastor didn't make me feel a certain way when he preached, or he didn't read my mind and call me when I thought he should have? How many have walked away in slander and gossip? And in pride, because I didn't get what I wanted, I have left the church to find one that fulfills my desires. There's a charge that is laid against the church over and over and over again, and rightfully so, that in our pride and in our selfishness, we fight and we quarrel with one another. But there is a flip side to pride. One that says, well, I've never left a church because of any of that. One that subtly and deep down assumes that we're better than those selfish people who have left. That instead of being brokenhearted at the fracturing of the bride of Christ and its current condition, we find peace that at least we aren't part of that problem. Or we're in our own theological context that we're Baptists, but at least we're not those Baptists, or at least we're not that denomination. And the pride shows itself in a subtle self-righteousness. And what we understand and what we need to grasp is that both of these poison the church. That when we look at other people as somehow less than ourselves, that somehow we are better than them, or when we look at the church and we are mad and angry because of our personal preferences aren't being met, we are quarreling and we are fighting because of our desires and passions, because of our pride. And I do need to clarify, I think it is right to talk about and to have disagreements about theological doctrines. It is right and okay to address pride and sin in our brothers, but never from a false understanding that we are somehow better than other people, but from a broken heart and a broken spirit desiring for them to be conformed into the image of Christ. So the question we must ask is, how do we humble ourselves? So we're called to, in humility, count others more significant ourselves. How do we actually do this? And Paul answers, have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on from verses 6 through 11, which I think is just a beautiful passage of what Christ has done. Jesus Christ humbled himself. Jesus, God from all eternity, perfect in holiness and righteousness, emptied himself and was born of a virgin, that he did not count equality with God something to be grasped. And not only was he born into the form of man, but he came as a servant, that he washed his disciples' feet. He served those he was around, and he humbled himself to death, even to death on the cross. He humbled himself to die for his bride. We sing a song over the Advent season. And then there was a line in the song that talked about the creator of the earth came down and stumbled upon the earth as he learned to walk. That is humility, that Jesus Christ and his love for his church and his love for his people came down and humbled himself to die for her. People that weren't deserving, people that hated him, he came and he died that he might redeem his bride. And so how do we humble ourselves? We love the church like Christ loved the church. How do we guard against pride? By acknowledging that we were at one time in darkness. That we aren't saved by our own works, that we aren't saved by our own strength, but that it is God in his grace that has saved us. That apart from Jesus Christ humbling himself and dying on the cross as a propitiation for our sins, we would have no salvation. That there is no righteousness in us. And the only reason we can know God, the only reason we desire to know God, the only reason we even come together this morning to open his word over electronic devices is because of what he has done in us. And realizing that God is holy, that God owes us nothing. Yet Jesus Christ stepped down to an undeserving people, to you and to I, and died for us. Now we are called to humble ourselves, considering each other more significant because of a genuine desire to be like Christ, a genuine desire to see our brothers and sisters conformed into the image of Christ. Look not only to your interest, but to the interest of others. Our desire in the local body should be to see each other conformed into the image of Christ. The local church is an immense blessing because through it we have the opportunity to humble ourselves in service to one another, to serve each other as Christ has served us. So as we come back together soon, I want to encourage you with the words of Paul. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. If there is disagreement over secondary and tertiary doctrines, it doesn't mean that we need to fight and to quarrel. What we must recognize is maybe we're wrong and God is using this person to bring us to truth with his word. Or maybe we are right in our understanding of scripture and God has not brought that person along and we are not somehow better than that person. Or maybe a song style is different than something that we would personally prefer, but that it glorifies and honors God. And God may be using that song that maybe I don't prefer the style to convict or to encourage a brother and sister in Christ, that God is using that to bring them along, to conform them into the image of Christ. And when we come back together, we acknowledge that we're no longer our own, but that we have been bought with a price and that we've been placed specifically in, for most of us, LifePoint Baptist Church, so that we can humble ourselves and that we can serve one another. That we might see each other conformed into the image of Christ. And I'm also reminded, as we're getting ready to wrap up, of James 4:6. But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Our posture must be one of humility, because it is the proud that God opposes. And so we must always be on guard of pride in our lives, because pride leads to sin. And that pride leads to fights and quarrels and poison of the church. So if you'll join me, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful for Jesus Christ. For apart from Jesus Christ, we would have no salvation. Father, I pray that you would give us the mind of Christ, which is ours in Christ, that we would truly and deeply desire to see one another at Life Point grow into the image of Christ, that we would have patience with one another, that we would be willing to give up our preferences for the benefit of our brothers and sisters, that we would tarry with each other, that we would work with each other, that we would grow one another through your holy word. Father, I pray that we would be a church that is characterized and defined by being built on your word alone. Father, that our worship would be centered on your word, that our entire lives would be built around building each other up through your word. Father, we ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen.